trials come and no one's around you, and it seems like you're all alone, reach for his arms. They'll comfort and keep you. Just trust in him and embrace the grace. Embrace the grace that God is offering. He feels your hurt and knows your every need. He wants to help you through your trials. Just feel his arms and embrace the grace. The Lord is near when problems come quickly, and it seems like there's no way out. He's walked your path and offers you victory. He pleads with you now to embrace the grace. Embrace the grace that God is offering. He feels your hurt and knows your every
song this morning. Open your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew. We've been in Matthew quite a bit recently. Find chapter 15. Chapter 15. And just going to get into some verses here in this chapter for our message this morning. I don't know if it was because I read Matthew in my devotions earlier, just a couple months ago, reading through it. And a lot of the messages so far, lately, so far have been out of this book, Matthew chapter 15. And I'll give you just a moment there to find it. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, that's easy. First book in the New Testament, okay? So Matthew chapter 15. Stand with me in honor of God's Word. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 21. Notice the story here that Matthew is recalling, writing down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus went thence, verse 21, and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. I want to speak this morning on the subject, when you need help. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you this morning. Thank you for the good day. Thank you for the songs that we have sung this morning from our hearts in sincere worship to you. I think about just that first song we sang On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. And now, God, the good song about your grace, and I pray that you'll please help us to reach this morning for the grace of God that is evident in this room. And Lord, may we hear today what the message is for our hearts. I pray, O God, for both speaker and listener to know that help of the Holy Spirit. I pray that I might know it as I speak for you today. And I pray that we all might know it as we listen. May we have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us this morning. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Most of us have some kind of favorite something or other. For instance, you probably have a favorite flavor of ice cream. I get tickled at going to places that have, you know, 31 flavors, or, you know, even at a restaurant, they'll have a dozen flavors of ice cream, and the waitress or waiter is there. What would you like? Would you like some ice cream? Sure. What flavors you got? We got vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, you know, black cherry, butter, pecan, blah, 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 blah. And the person goes through 12 or 15 flavors, and the person says, I'll take vanilla. And I'm thinking, you know, we could have saved some time here, folks. But anyway, you probably have a certain flavor of ice cream. You probably have a certain favorite kind of vehicle that you like to drive. You may have a favorite color. You may have a favorite sport, and usually a favorite team within that particular sport. Well, I say all that to say this. This passage that we're referring to this morning details one of my favorite Bible stories. I love this story. I love the Bible from cover to cover. It's a great book. The stories of the Bible are unrivaled. They're unrivaled. How are you going to improve on the crossing of the Red Sea? How are you going to improve on Daniel in the lion's den or David and Goliath? You can't improve on these stories. They're bigger than life, but they were true to life. And so here we have a beautiful story. It comes right out of the life of Christ. And every time I come across it when I'm reading the Bible, it just moves my heart, especially where this woman said in verse 25, Lord, help me. You ever said that? I would guess everybody in this, maybe some younger people, maybe some younger boys, girls, younger adults haven't said that, but you will. You will. Lord, help me. I want to look at this morning. In verse number 21, we read where Jesus made a journey to the northern border of the nation of Israel. Tyre and Sidon were both coastal cities. It's interesting. Tyre was a place where Jewish people lived. Sidon was a place where more Gentiles lived than Jews. They were several miles apart, not horribly far apart. And between the two was the city of Zarephath. You might remember that from Old Testament. Elijah, go to Zarephath and buy Sidon, and there's a widow there. And so it's a mixture of Jews and Gentiles, and Sidon, more Gentiles than Jews. Now, Mark's gospel has this same story recorded in it. And when Mark gave us the account, he told us that Jesus entered a house, now listen, and would have no man know it. So Jesus went into a house there, and he basically wanted everybody just to keep it quiet. Do not let anybody know that I am here. He wanted to be alone. Now, we're not told why, and he had his 12 disciples with him, so it wasn't like he wanted to be isolated. He probably was just seeking a little relief from the multitudes that followed him. Everywhere Christ went, multitudes followed him. Multitudes. Sometimes when he went away to get a break with his multitudes met them there. So he goes into this house in the town, and he doesn't want it to be reported anywhere. And then Mark goes on to say, I love it, he says, and would have no man know it. And then the very next verse says, but he could not be hid. And that's not surprising. I'm not surprised that the Son of God could hide away somewhere. You know, how in the world? It's kind of difficult, folks, to hide the light of the world. It's kind of difficult to hide the bread of life. It's kind of difficult to hide the living water, the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega. So, you know, word must have spread quickly around the area. And soon, here comes a woman with a very sick child seeking His help. Now, Matthew called her, in verse number 22, a woman of Canaan. You know what that means? That means she was a descendant of the old Canaanite worshipers of Baal, a false god. The truth of the matter is, Zarephath, Zidon, was the home area of Jezebel. And the worship of Baal began there. And so she is from a Canaanite family, one of the families, no doubt, of the worshiper of Baal, a false god. And she came to Jesus Christ when she heard that He was close by. She came because she needed help. And there are times when you and I need help. So I want to talk this morning about when you need help. Let's look at this woman. What did she have? Well, first of all, let me say this, folks. This woman had a heartache. She had a heartache. You'll see in verse number 22 that her heartache was she had a daughter that was possessed by a devil, and the results were grievous. You can imagine that. She had a lovely little girl possessed by a devil, and the results of that were horribly grievous. So this woman has this heartache. Folks, heartache often causes people to seek God. You know, I've said before, heartache stops at everybody's front porch in some fashion or the other. And often those very heartaches that stop at our front porch will cause a person to seek God's help. It's usually, let's be honest, folks, we really get to seeking God's help if we have a heartache. This woman had a heartache. Her heart was broken. And can you blame her? Here she was with this beautiful little girl, and she has this trouble because she's possessed by a devil. She has a heartache. And so because of her heartache, she reached out to God. She reached out to Jesus Christ for help. And heartaches cause us to seek after God. Now, at times, this is not always true, but you'd be surprised. At times, we have a visiting couple, or we have a visiting person come and take in a service here at Faith Baptist Church, and we later find out, if we get to sit down and visit with them a little bit, that there is some problem. There's some heartache. And that's really why they came to church. And you know what? I say, good for them. Where else are you going to go? Where else are you going to go looking for help? You know, folks, if we ever get tired of dealing with people who need help, if we ever get tired of having people who have problems come through the doors of Faith Baptist Church, we ought to just close it down. Where else are they going to go? Hollywood? The government? They cause more trouble than they help. So I'm glad. So this is what this woman did. She had a heartache and she went to the Lord Jesus Christ. She needed some help. All you have to do is a very casual reading of Jesus' ministry on earth, folks, to see that the vast majority of people who came to Him came because of a heartache. They didn't come because He was the Son of God. Some of them came because they thought they might get a free lunch. Which is why we're giving away burritos in a few weeks. Amen? But there's no free lunch. There is at Faith Baptist Church if you're a guest. Get you a burrito. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's sorrow. But it all results in a soft heart, a tender heart, made tender, made soft by some heartache. I remember this is so vivid in my mind. It happened several years ago, back in 04 or 05. I was on the plane going from O'Hare to Dallas-Fort Worth, and the war in the Middle East was not that old. Do you remember 9/11 and 01? And then, you know, Bush sends troops over there, and they're still there, okay? But this was in the early years of the war in Iraq especially. And when I took my seat, if I do what I want to do, I like to sit by the window. You know, automatically people think, man, you're a tall guy. You want to sit on the aisle. Folks, it doesn't matter if you sit in the aisle, the middle seat, or the window seat. When you're 6'3", you're not comfortable, okay? And at 6'3", at least I can lay my head over on the side of the airplane and maybe snooze a little bit if I'm real tired. So I like to sit by the window. And I was so thrilled that day when a young man, younger man than me, walked in, sat down in the middle seat, dressed out in combat fatigues. He was flying to Dallas-Fort Worth. We're going to get it. I was going to the same place. And so, you know, we said howdy, and then after we got in the air for a little ways, I began to talk with him a little bit, and I said, are you in the Army? And I think he was in, don't quote me, it may not have been, he either was in the Army or the Army Reserve, but I said, what's going on? He said, well, I've been in Iraq, and I've been home from Rockford, and I'm going back. We're being deployed to go back. And we began to talk about it. It was back in the early days of the cities of Ramallah and Fallujah. You remember all those cities? All the fierce fighting that went on in those places. And he said he was in one of those places, and I forget which place he was in. There was a couple other towns. It might have been one of them. And his name was Sean McGuire. And I got that in my notes. That's how I remember it. And I said to Sean, I said, well, what was the most difficult part about it? And he said, you know, really, he said, it wasn't the soldiers. It was the IEDs. Those incendiary devices. I forget what the IED stands for exactly. But they were those homemade bombs that they put in the trunks of people's cars. And our soldiers would go by driving by what looked to be an ordinary vehicle, and the thing would blow up. And he said, you know, I was close one time to an IED that went off, and some of my buddies, you know, were injured in that blast. And Paul, that's what happened to you, wasn't it, over there in Iraq? You were over there? Or Afghanistan? Where were you? Afghanistan, but it was the same type thing. And Paul has an injury to this day. I'm thankful Paul comes to church here, really am. Comes all the way from Watsika. Appreciate it. Served our country over there. And Sean is telling me about this, and he's got a family, he's got kids, and so finally, it's just like God has prepared this whole trip. And so I ask him, Sean, let me ask you a question. Going back to a dangerous place, you ever think about eternity? Are you ready for eternity if you were to lose your life? I never talked to anybody more open and ready to hear the gospel story than that young man that afternoon. And I took my Bible out and began to show him the scriptures. And man, there was no hesitation. There was no inattention. He was zeroed in. And finally got through the gospel presentation and said, Sean, would you like to trust Christ as your Savior? Yes, I would. He bowed his head on the plane, right there on the plane, and trusted the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior. We had a good time the rest of the way down. It's about a 2-hour, 15-minute flight to Dallas. And we got off, and I had a bag I was waiting for. If you've been to the Dallas airport, it's quite different than going through O'Hare, where the bags are. You go out of your gate, and the baggage carousel's right there. And so I'm waiting for my bag, and all of a sudden, here comes Sean. He's got his great big duffel bag. He comes out of his way to find me, walks up to me, sticks his hand out, says, Terry, thank you. Shakes my hand. I believe with all my heart, you know what made that man's heart tender to the gospel message? Heartache. Not the kind of heartache that brought tears down his face, but the kind of heartache that's created by fear. What am I going to back into? I said goodbye to a wife. I've said goodbye to little children. And I'm going back into combat, you know, possibly. And his heart was made tender. And folks, sometimes hearts are made soft and made tender by the pressure that comes into our lives. You know, and heartache often causes people to seek God. You know, nobody likes heartache. But heartache makes us go to God. It pushes us there because it's bigger than us. It's beyond us sometimes to know how to handle it. So here's this lady, and you know, she doesn't have a child with a broken arm. She doesn't have a child with the mumps or measles. She's got a child possessed by a devil. It's bigger than her. She's got to have help. And so she goes to when you need help. Usually it's because, like this woman, she had a heartache. Sometimes we have heartaches and we need help. Now the second thing I want to point out about this woman is probably the most amazing thing about this whole passage, this whole story, is this woman was humble. This woman was humble. And look what the Bible says in verse number 22. O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. She came with a heartache. Notice verse number 23, what Jesus said. She said, Lord, help my daughter. But He answered her not a word. He ignored her. You know what that would do with most people, to a lot of people who have a heartache? It would make them angry. Bitter. Mad. He answered her not. Well, I got, you know, Pastor, sometimes I have a problem and I pray to God and it just seems like He doesn't hear me. He doesn't listen. He answered her not a word. Folks, whatever you and I go through in life, we're not the first people to go through it. He ignored her. And then she must have turned to His disciples, because look what it says in 23. As His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. So she must have turned to the disciples, Peter, James, John, Andrew, these fellas. Hey, you got to help me. This problem is bigger than me. I don't have a child with the disease here. I have a child who's grievously vexed by a devil. I need your help. And the disciples finally come to Jesus and say, Lord, she's driving us nuts. She's driving us nuts. By the way, it's interesting how many times the disciples wanted to send people away with problems rather than try to fix them. That happened at the feeding of the 5,000. Lord, send them away. It's getting late and there's no White Castle out here. Okay? So they come to Jesus and they say, you know, and look at what Jesus said to His disciples, verse 24. And maybe she's standing close enough by to hear this, but He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus, you know what He said? He said, my dealings are with the Jews. And you know what this means? She's in trouble because she's a Gentile. So here's this woman with this unbelievable heartache. She comes to Jesus. He ignores her. The disciples try to get her sent away. Jesus said, fellas, I'm not going to do anything with her. She is a Gentile woman. Now look, as we're going to find out here in just a minute, here's what did not happen. She did not get angry. She did not get mad. She did not get... Folks, I have talked with people at their doors, people who live in this area, who will not even consider visiting a church service. They would not look at a Bible because at some point in their time, their lifetime, they had a heartache and they went to God and God did not come through for them as they thought He should have. And now they're angry. And they're bitter. I've talked to them. And by the way, that didn't happen to people just outside of church. Sometimes that happens to people in church. I have prayed about this. I have asked God to change this and nothing happened. It's like I had this heartache. It's a legitimate heartache. And I came to Him and it didn't happen like I thought it would. But this woman's heart was humble, and she says in verse number 22, have mercy on me. She was not there on the basis of her merit. She was there on the basis of Christ's mercy. I don't deserve anything from you. Now, most of our praying in times of difficulties, doesn't come from that kind of heart. Most of our praying comes from, I deserve this. I deserve this. But not her. She was not there on the basis of her merit. She knew that she did not fit into the clientele that Jesus came to help. When Jesus said, hey, you're not a Jew, later on in the Scripture here, in verse 26, look at what He says. It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He said, you're not a Jew. And she said, she's fully aware of that. I understand that. This did not make her angry. It did not make her bitter. She knew she was not deserving. And therein lies the difference in how people approach God looking for help with a heartache. Some people approach God with the attitude, God, I deserve this. I believe that, you know, this needs to happen. I'm entitled to this. And when it doesn't happen, we get angry, we get bitter, we get mad. And our heart turns on God. I remember one time a fellow stopped in here for a handout. We have policy about that. Sometimes we are able to help people. Sometimes we're not. This particular time, and folks, you would not believe some of the stories that these folks come up with. It's incredible. They're remarkable. They really should write books. Because, man, they've got this mind that just invents this wild story. And I remember this guy in particular because he came in with one of them hats that looked like Elvis Presley. And he came in, he was in a black suit, tie. I guess he thought that was supposed to, you know, going to impress. And he was so nice. And he was just, you know, he had his hat in his hand like this. And he was, maybe some of the ladies in the office might remember this. And he started, I happened to be near the office, and he was hitting me up for some cash and some money and everything, you know. And first of all, we're not going to hand cash to people. They might go out and spend it on alcohol. I'm not going to do that. If we're going to help with gas, we'll go down and put the gas in the tank. Okay? In that particular time, we had helped other people, and I said that he was just so kind and so, you know, kind of just so, what's the word, conciliatory, right? You know, just attitude. And I said, I'm sorry, sir, you know what? We don't keep a lot of cash on hand, and we don't. We were broken into years ago in the old building. You might remember that. Some money was stolen. We don't keep a lot of cash here. And I said, we don't. We just are not able to help you. Boy, it was like a switch was flipped. And it went to you church people, blankety blank this. And I had to tell him, leave. He was swearing right in front of the ladies in the office. He went from, you're such a nice church and you can really, and well, I believe y'all are such nice people, to blankety blank blank blank. Now, that's an extreme thing, but I'm going to tell you something. In some ways, God's people are like that. We go to God with a heartache and we act like we're entitled to His help and His care. And when God just doesn't drop everything in heaven and tend to our situation, folks, He doesn't owe us anything. He owes us nothing. This woman did not have an entitlement attitude. She did not have one of these things like, you owe me. She had a heartache. And she was a lot better off going to Jesus with the attitude of, you owe me nothing. Please have mercy. You know what mercy, folks? Mercy is not giving us what we deserve. What she deserved was for Jesus to turn a deaf ear to her. That's what she said, have mercy. Don't give me what I deserve. That's a lot better attitude than going to God with the idea of, you owe me some help. She did not become hateful. She became more tender as this thing got more tense and it wasn't going anywhere. That's when she said in verse number 25, Lord, help me. Now, folks, look at what was said in verse number 26. He answered and said, it is not meet for me. Now, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Look at verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord. You know what's remarkable about this? Remarkable about it is Jesus just referred to her as a dog. You're not a Jew. You're a Gentile. It's not right for me to take bread that I should use to feed my children, the Jewish people, and give it to the dogs. It's not proper. Now, folks, you've got to understand here, there's no bias, there's no prejudice, there's no hatred in Jesus Christ. He came to His own. He came to the Jews. He came from a Jewish womb. He came for the Jews. They rejected Him. They said no. Jesus was not biased. He was not prejudiced. He was not racist, not in the slightest pretense whatsoever. What He was saying was, woman, I am not here. Listen, I am not here to serve the needs of the Gentiles. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to give the food, the help, the encouragement to the children. I can't give what's supposed to be for the children to the dogs. And she says, you're right. That's a different approach. I said, it's a real different approach. You're right, Lord. No, you're exactly right. I am a Gentile. I am undeserving. I am not entitled. I am not of the Jewish people. I am not one of the chosen people of God. You are right. She agreed with you. You know what that's a sign of, folks? That's a sign of a humble heart. And I'm going to tell you why that's so important. Because the books of 1 Peter and the book of James tells us that God is close to people who have a humble heart. In the book of Psalms, the Bible tells us that the Lord is close to those who are of a broken and a contrite. 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 Synonym for humble. Synonym. God is not interested in people who are haughty. He's not interested in helping people who have a haughty heart, who get mad when He doesn't respond like they want Him to, who get angry. This gal, at every turn, every response, is indicative of a humble heart. I don't deserve anything. Nothing. You're right. I'm a dog. Oh, she had a heartache. She was humble. But I want to show you number three. This woman had hope. Folks, I love this. Look at verse number 27. So He just said, I can't take what was meant for the Jews and give it to the Gentiles. I can't take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. In verse 27, she says, you're right, Lord, truth. You speak truth. And then she says, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from, what's that next word? Their master's table. And I'm reading that for the first time some years. I preached along these lines many years ago. It's not a repeat sermon, it's a repeat passage. And it dawned on me, she said, yes, Lord, I understand, you know, the master has to take care of his children, but the master also takes care of his dogs. And I may not be a Jew, but I'm one of yours. I belong to you. She said, their master. She was admitting that she was a Gentile. But you know what she was, folks? She was a believing Gentile. And as a believing Gentile, Jesus was her master. And you can see this in the way she came to Christ in verse number 22. Look at it again. When the first thing she said to Him, have mercy on me. Watch as she says, O Lord, Thou Son of David. Stop. Do you know what she was saying when she said, O Lord, Thou Son of David? She was saying, You are the Messiah. I believe you're the Jewish Messiah. The Jews didn't even believe that. They wouldn't accept it. She's a Gentile. She's from a false God-worshipping family of Canaanites. And she says, I believe You are who You say You are. O Lord, the Anointed One, the God the Son, Son of God, Son of David. There's humanity. The Messiah was to be all God and all man. Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. What she was saying was, I'm not one of your children. I am one of your dogs. And masters, take care of both. How many of you folks own a dog? God help you. How many dogs did we have? How many dogs we had? Dogs upon dogs upon dogs upon dogs. Now we're dog free. And yeah, don't get me one as a present. Amen. I don't need a puppy, okay? We have some great dogs. I was going to chap some of you. Best dog we ever had was a pit bull. He was a blessing. He was a saved dog. Amen. He really was. Old Duke. Brother Mike, you remember Lady? she was not a saved dog. My wife ended her life. Won't go into detail there, okay? I tried to be a good master. We fed our dogs. Once in a while, we fed them the scraps. I know you're not supposed to, but old Duke sure did enjoy it. Masters take care of their dogs. You know what this lady is saying? Lord, I'm not a Jew, but I believe You are who You say You are. And I have hope that in spite of me not being what maybe I could be, I have hope You'll still help me. Folks, do you understand that's a great way to approach God when you need help? Lord, I don't deserve anything, and I'm not what I'm supposed to be. But I belong to You, and I have hope that in spite of me, not because of me, in spite of me, You'll help me. She had hope. She had hope in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. She, as a Gentile, believed in Jesus as the Jewish Messiah. What she was saying to Jesus Christ, I am a believer. I don't need all that You came to give to the Jews. I just need a crumb. I just need a scrap. And because I believe in who You are, I'm hopeful that You will drop me a crumb. Scrape me off a scrap. And the Bible says that Jesus was moved. Look what the Bible says in verse number 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. That very hour. This woman understood that even though she wasn't everything she maybe could have been, she could have been a Jew, and that would have put her in a better standing with Christ at that time. She still had hope that even if it wasn't a Jew, she believed in Him as the Messiah. And Lord, I don't need the steak and potato and the chocolate pie. If You could just send me a, if You could just drop, and brother, what a crumb she got. She didn't go home with a Jewish lineage, but she went home with a well daughter. A little crumb. She had a heartache. She was humble. She had hope. I'd like to talk a little bit more about this, but I'm getting to the end. I need to finish time-wise because I don't want to neglect the last one. You say, Pastor, tie this all together for us, okay? Heartache, humble, hope. Because people, here's the thing. Who among us can go to Christ and say, hey, I'm everything I ought to be, so I'm here for Your help? Who can say that? Aren't you glad we've got a God who, in spite of us not being everything we ought to be, will toss us a crumb? And His crumbs are pretty good. Number 4, she was hungry. What? Look at verse number 28. Not because she was talking about crumbs, okay? Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Do you know that Jesus said that to another fella? He said it to the Roman centurion whose servant was sick, and he came to Jesus and he said some things about Jesus that nobody else in the Jewish world was saying. And Jesus looked at him and said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Twice, Jesus says, I have not found such great faith. And both times, he was talking to Gentiles, not Jews. Folks, do you know that Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, now don't miss this, must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And that's what this lady had. I am not a Jew. I am undeserving. I am unentitled. I deserve nothing. Yes, I am a dog. But I believe You are who You say You are. I believe God. Do you understand? Sidon was an area where Gentiles lived. And in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus was speaking to the Jewish people who lived in Chorazin and Bethsaida, Jewish strongholds, cities that were Jewish populated. And Jesus said this, if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. Jewish hearts were hard. They had the oracles. They had the scrolls. They had their lineage. They had their pedigree. I don't need anything. But over in Sidon, there was a lady who said, I need some help. Jesus went to where the soft heart was. Jesus went to, look, folks, don't you think Jesus got tired of the Jews always? Everywhere, everything, they nitpicked everything. Your disciples didn't wash their hands. Well, look at you eating with publicans and sinners. These hard-hearted Jews were everywhere. Everything Jesus tried to do, they wanted nothing to do with it. So He went on a journey to a place where there was one hungry woman who needed help. And I want to tell you this morning, if you are hungry and you're humble and you have hope because of a heartache, if you'll stay tender, He'll come to your help. That may not be in the timetable you wanted to come. And you'll get at least a crumb. You might get more than that. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. Here's what happens. We go to God, and He doesn't move on our part like we think He should, when we think He should, and we get hard-hearted. And you know what Jesus says? Whoa. I'm not looking for somebody with a heart made out of a rock. I'm looking to help somebody with a heart that's made out of wax. That's tender. That's humble. Let me ask you a question. Why is the brown-skinned world experiencing tremendous results from the gospel message right now? You want to know why? Because the white-skinned world doesn't need God anymore. We got our jobs, we got our 401ks, we got our retirement, we've got our houses, we've got our lands, we've got everything. God, I don't... And one time I really needed help and You didn't come as soon as I thought You should. So you know what? Just the white-skinned people don't need God anymore. The brown-skinned people of the world have hearts like wax. They're melted. God, help me. And they're seeing revival. Revival. American people's hearts are hard. We sit week after week. We hear the gospel message. We need to be saved. We turn a deaf ear to it. Like the Jews of Jesus' day. And Jesus, you know what? That's okay. I'll go over here to Mexico. I'll go over here to this Hispanic Latin American country over here where you get 200 lost Spanish people together and tell them that Jesus loves them and came to save them and see 75 of them saved because their hearts are tender. They need help. Folks, heartaches make us seek God. When you seek God with a heartache, you go with a humble heart. You go with a hopeful heart. More than anything, you go with a hungry heart. A hungry heart. God, I need you more than I need you. I want you. I want you. Don't get hard-hearted toward God. That's what this woman avoided in all of her heartache, in all the things that were said to her, in all the things that happened to her. She kept a hungry, hopeful, humble heart. And she got help. You and I are going to need help at some point in time if we don't already. We need to stay hungry, hopeful, and humble as we seek the one who can help us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. What a great story in the Word of God. Father, I bow before you. I am thankful for this story that is recorded for us in Scripture. Thank you for its truth. But now, Lord, that we've heard truth, help us to respond and live truth. I pray that you'll please speak to the heart that needs it most here this morning as we bow before you at the close of this service, O God. May we allow your Spirit to search us, to search us. Help us to stay hungry, hopeful, and humble in our search for help. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder this morning, I see some are already praying. Do you need help? Did the Spirit of God speak to you this morning about this matter of needing help? Pastor, pray for me. I want to stay hungry. I want to stay hopeful. I want to stay helpful in my heartache. Because I sure would like to see God's help come my way. Would you slip your hand up this morning wherever you may be sitting? Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may take your hands down. Now, let me ask this question this morning. The help that some people need is salvation help. You need to be forgiven of your sins. You need to be born into God's family. You need to be saved. You need the hope, the knowledge that you're going to heaven someday. And some of you need to be saved. And I'm afraid, boy, just a deaf ear, just week after week, please. Come with a humble heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and receive Him. Be saved. What if there's anybody here today say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I am saved. And if He wants me to be saved, I don't think I am. I don't know that I am, or I know that I'm not. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up this morning if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven when you die? Anybody like that in the service? From right to left in the back, God bless you. I appreciate your honesty. You're not sure that you're on your way to heaven? Is there another? I'm going to pray in just a moment. Is there somebody else not sure that you're saved in the balcony? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one is looking. You raised your hand that you're not saved. I want to invite you in just a moment when the music begins for the invitation. Some will be coming to pray, and I invite you to come and tell one of these men down here, I'd like to know what it means to be saved. Let somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved. I would invite you to come this morning with a humble heart to know what the Bible says about it. Maybe you've been saved. You need to be followed the Lord in believer's baptism. That would be a tender thing to do, to follow Him. You take care of that this morning. Maybe some of you have talked to us about joining the church, but the need, whatever the need is for you, if you need God's help and you need a hungry, hopeful, humble heart, and whether you can kneel at the altar or you have to just come down here and stand, but you make a move toward God, draw nigh to God, I will draw nigh to you. That's what He said. He'll help those that are hungry. If you're not saved, would you please come when the music begins? Learn what it means to be saved. Father, bless the invitation as only you can. May we have a humble heart starting right now, a tender heart at this time of invitation. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing the song of invitation. Would you come this morning? Some are coming to pray. Just come right down the aisle. Tell this man that you need to be saved. Would you come today? That's right. God bless you, Brother Bragg. Amen. While we wait, while we wait today, heartaches cause us to seek God. But boy, if we're going to seek for help, we got to go with the right kind of heart. That humble, hopeful, hungry heart. I don't need a full-blown meal, Lord. Just need a crumb. Just a little crumb. Just a little blessing. Just a little help. Several have come to pray this morning. Would you like to join them? I'm thankful for a church that's still takes part in an invitation. So many are just dead now. Some have come to try to find out what it means to be saved. Do you need to come this morning? Humble your heart before God. Maybe where you sit right there, where you stand, oh God, help me. Ladies, thank you. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for the privilege to sit in church and have an open Bible and sing these songs in fellowship, but most of all to have you speak to our hearts. And oh Lord, there's going to come a time, if not now, when all of us need help. And may we not forget the story of this dear woman who came with such a hopeful, hungry, help, humble heart. And Lord, I don't know if you'll do for us what you did for her, but Lord, I know one thing you won't do. You won't do anything for a person with a haughty heart. So please help us to have this kind of approach and this kind of heart when we need help. In Jesus' name, amen.